The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As they were coming down the mountain, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said in reply, "Elijah will indeed come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. The Gospel of the Lord. To the Israelite people, Elijah was a mystery. Elijah was a contradiction. Because the wages of sin is death, and the curse of the sin of Adam is that all would die. And all, in fact, did die. All, that is, except for Elijah. In all the Old Testament, Elijah is the only character who never suffers the penalty of the sin of Adam. Remember the story of Elijah and how the story of Elijah ends? Elijah hands off his mantle to the prophet Elisha, his successor. And then he's taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. Elijah doesn't die. And all the Israelites read that story and scratched their heads and asked themselves, well, why didn't Elijah die? And a tradition began to emerge that Elijah didn't die because Elijah's job on earth was not finished, that he would come back again and prepare the way of the Lord. Okay, so today, the apostles don't ask whether Elijah will come again, but they want to know why Elijah is going to come again. And Jesus doesn't answer them. Instead, he simply makes two statements. Elijah has already come, and Elijah will come again. How has Elijah come? He's come in the person of John the Baptist, in the spirit of Elijah, to prepare the way of the Lord. But how will Elijah come again? Elijah will come again when you consider that nobody comes to the Lord unless someone first prepares his way in the spirit of Elijah, in the spirit of John the Baptist. Nobody comes to the Lord unless somebody prepares the way. Look back over your own life and you'll discover that that's true. Unless you were immaculately conceived, somebody somewhere showed you this faith. Usually it was a family member, often it was a mom. Oftentimes these days it's a friend. But nobody comes to the Lord on their own. And all of us have to ask ourselves this question. If that's the case for us, then why not me? Why don't I prepare the way of the Lord now? And the way we do that above all else is to by showing people what it means that God is to be loved above all. That's what converted the ancient Roman Empire. You know, in the ancient Roman Empire, they thought of Christianity as something negligible. It was a splinter group off Judaism, and the power and might of Caesar and of Rome would last forever. But lo and behold, that little splinter group offshoot of Judaism converted the Roman Empire to the worship of Christ. And how did it happen? By the witness of countless martyrs who prepared the way of the Lord by showing what it means that God is to be loved above all things. That's what worship means. Like our saint for today, Lucy. Lucy lived in the days of the Emperor Diocletian, who had one of the worst persecutions in all of history. And tragically, his persecution was the last in all of history, just a decade or so before Christianity was made legal. That's when poor Lucy was killed in his persecution. But Lucy had her job to play. She had to prepare the way of the Lord. Like so many others, Lucy was a Christian in secret. She just wanted to worship God and didn't want trouble from anybody. And she'd taken a vow of celibacy. Lucy had vowed that she would belong to Christ the Lord and to nobody else. But her parents had other ideas. They wanted Lucy to be married, and they arranged for Lucy to be married against her will and as a last gasp effort to try to prevent the marriage. Lucy took her dowry and gave it to the poor. She thought that would make her guy go find some other girl, but it didn't. It only made him really angry. And he dragged Lucy before the Roman authorities and accused Lucy of being a Christian. Now back then, if you were accused of being a Christian, there were two ways you could deny it. You could either sign your name on a paper, which was called a libellus, or you could offer a pinch of incense in worship of the emperor. Either one would do. We don't know which choice Lucy was given. We only know that Lucy said no and that she was killed for her faith, but not before first being tortured. If you ever see an icon of Saint Lucy, you'll see her holding a pair of eyeballs on a plate. That's because before they killed Lucy, they plucked out Lucy's eyeballs with a fork. That's not meant to be macabre. That's not meant to be gross. That's meant to be something that shows you what it means when we say God is to be loved above all things. It's a lesson this age needs to learn, in which we think God needs to be loved, you know, but only if it's not too inconvenient. That's not even worship. That's just a hobby. Pope Paul VI once said that no one believes a Christian teacher unless he's first a Christian witness. That's what the Lord meant when he said that Elijah will come. Someone must prepare the way. The question to pray about is, why not you? Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Lucy, pray for us.